I know your story. I've read it cover to cover. And I know the storms that will come. The waves will swell and the sky will darken. Though you'll fight against the current, you'll be swept away. You'll feel helpless and abandoned, and you'll wonder where I am in the midst of it all. I know this isn't the way you thought our relationship would work, but my plans are not for my comfort or yours. My purposes are always and only an expression of love. The scars in my hands are proof that love will sometimes lead you directly into the storm. Though you can't understand my plans, you can trust in one thing, that I am entirely good. You can't even imagine how good I am, and my plan for you is no different. When you shout asking where I am, know that I am right behind you, with my arms wrapped tightly around you, whispering, I will never let go.
Good morning, church family. It's good to be together this morning once again, and I'm delighted that you are here in the presence of God as we've been worshiping, as we've been exalting the Lord together this morning. Thank you once again for making this a priority in your Lord's Day worship time, and we're so glad once again we can be together. Now, today marks the sixth week of the governor's Safer at Home mandate. And there's potentially six more weeks to come. This time has been challenging, to say the least, for most of us in various ways. Daily schedules and routines have been trashed. Schools have been closed. Businesses shuttered. Jobs furloughed. And any normality of the moment is gone. And it's becoming more and more evident that there's a growing frustration with what many perceive to be a nanny state telling us what is in our best interest. As a church, we have been and will continue to communicate our concerns directly with our elected officials and praying for them that they might know the mind and the heart of God during this very challenging season. Now, with that being said, we as a church, we have chosen to view this moment through the lens of not what we cannot do, but rather of what we can do. From the very beginning, we determined with God's help, we were going to leverage every single moment to make the most of everything we can during this time. We've been texting and phoning and FaceTiming and Zooming and live streaming and mailing. You know, never before have we ever found so many people at home during the day. And it's easy to communicate with you right now. This past month, we have personally talked with somewhere around 1,000 individuals and families by phone. And as a congregation, you have taken advantage of the opportunity of inviting your family and friends to live stream the services along with us. Last week, let me give you an example of that. Last week, there was 19,272 live stream views, totaling 6,424 hours of viewing time, which is equivalent to 267 days if someone were to watch nonstop 24 hours a day, just those that were engaged with us last weekend. It would take you 24 hours a day, 267 days, just to catch up with all the listening time. God has been up to something wonderful. And I want you to know, God is on his throne today, and you can count on him. You know, through our partnerships, and we have many of them, one of which is the Salvation Army, we have supplied hundreds of meals to the Central City, as well as the Teen Challenge and City on a Hill. Our food pantry here at the church has been in full operation. And every single missions commitment, and we have 135 missionaries and ministries that we support on a monthly basis, every single commitment to God and to our missionary families have been met. Thank you for your faithfulness. Though we're not physically together in this sanctuary, I want you to know that together we are ministering to Southeast Wisconsin and not only this region, but around the world. So I want to thank you. Thank you for your ongoing faithfulness. We can and we are doing ministry together. Have you ever questioned where is God in the midst of a storm? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, we find the disciples in the middle of a storm. And this storm is a doozy. Listen to what it says. Starting with verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, that is Jesus, of course, let us go over to the other side. You see, they were on the western bank of the Sea of Galilee, and they were headed towards the eastern side, towards the land of the Gadarenes. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we all drown?" He got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The disciples, they all say one another now, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Look at the last part of verse 38 once again. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, Master, Lord, don't you care if we should drown?" You talk about a storm, the disciples are in the thick of it. It's a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Their small boat is being tossed and driven like a cork out on the open waters. Water is rushing over the gunwales, and the boat now is about to swamp, and not only swamp, but to sink. The disciples are scared to death, and they're fearing for their very lives. And as for Jesus, where is he at this moment? The Bible says he's fast asleep in the stern of the boat. Frantically, the disciples go back. They awake him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care if we're all about to drown?" Where is God in the midst of the storm? I'm sure many of us have asked that very same question a time or two over these past 6 weeks. You may have said, "God, if you care, where are you at? Have you forgotten about this planet? What are you waiting for, God? If you're sovereign, why don't you move and move now? If you're planning to help us, I suggest you help us right quick and right early." I want you to consider with me, first of all, how the storm was a sudden storm. The Sea of Galilee is located some 686 feet below sea level. Its elevation gives it the distinction of being the lowest freshwater lake on planet Earth, second only to the elevation of the Dead Sea, which is only about 50 miles to the south. The Sea of Galilee is a basin, and it is a basin surrounded by mountains, some of which form what is called the Golan Heights, which we hear so much about. Because of the surrounding topography, the Sea of Galilee has been infamous for its sudden storms. Storms that you can't see coming because you cannot see the horizon because of the mountain ridge around the Sea of Galilee. These storms, they often swoop down from the north, catching small craft in sudden and dangerous seas. For the disciples, this was going to be just another normal routine crossing, as they had done time and time again. And as fishermen, many of these disciples previously, as fishermen, they knew this lake like the back of their hand. Suddenly, however, all normalcy is gone. The storm had instantly appeared, and it seemingly is coming out of nowhere. One minute, life is good. The next minute, the disciples are fearing for their very lives. You know, I've come to see, friends, that life is not merely as predictable as we would like to think. For the disciples, it was just a predictable time. They were going to go across the Sea of Galilee from the west to the east, as they had so many times. And I'm sure they're thinking, this is a piece of cake. We know this lake. We know the weather. We know all about how to get there safely. But we have come to understand in the last days, and as time has unfolded here in these last moments in the last month, that things are not as predictable as we would like to think. How quickly things can change. A phone call, a letter, an email, a text, a message, yes, a knock at the door, and suddenly your life is all changed forever. I'll never forget the night that my father died. I was at the Fireside Dinner Theater in Fort Atkinson with a group from our church. It was the Primetimer group. It was a beautiful fall day. As the bus wound its way through the scenic back roads on our way to Fort Atkinson, as always, there was a lot of laughter and fun going on in the bus as we were making our way on that beautiful day. I had just gone through the buffet line, and I have to admit, my plate was piled a lot higher than it should have been. Matter of fact, I heard somebody the other day say that they have gotten Corvette 15. And they said, 15? What is that? It's supposed to be 19. No, I've gained 15 pounds. And I think a lot of us are probably bearing a little extra weight with all this time we've got at home. And so here I was at the buffet, and my plate was piled, and I went to sit down. And as I was getting ready to take my first bite, the manager there of the theater came and said to me, I had a phone call, and suddenly everything changed. As most of you know, it's one of those moments that, you know, you'll just never, ever forget the time and the place of where you're at when someone that you love dearly has been taken from us. And so many of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Suddenly we find ourselves in the midst of a raging storm. Suddenly we lose a loved one. Suddenly, without forewarning, we have a diagnosis of a serious illness. And suddenly, when you show up for work at the place that you've worked for many years, you find the doors blocked and it's closed. The storm was sudden. Secondly, I want you to notice something else about the storm. This storm was not only sudden, it was furious. The Greek word that is used here to describe the storm is the same word that is used for a hurricane. It is also used to describe squall lines of thunderstorms, strong gusting winds, driving rain, and flooding waters. I believe that the waves on the Sea of Galilee, they tell us, were somewhere in the vicinity of 10 to 12 feet. That's incredible. It's an incredible, perilous place to be on the sea in a small 26-foot, low-profile wooden boat. The boat started taking on water, and it was in immediate danger of sinking. In much the same way, friends, the storms of life can be so fierce, coming seemingly out of nowhere, without warning, turning your world totally upside down. Thirdly, I want you to notice, the storm was all-inclusive. Everyone at sea experienced the same storm. Mark references in his portion of Scripture in chapter 5 and verse 1 that there were a number of other boats along with them. And in verse 36, rather, it says, there were also other boats with him. So there were probably some commercial fishermen that were going out for the last catch of the night. They were out on the sea along with the disciples. Others may have been merely taking the shortest route from the west side to the east side of the Sea of Galilee, much like we would take a ferry across Lake Michigan today. And still others may have been out on the lake recreationally. They just went out just to cool down and have a great evening out on the water. Here's the point. All experienced, whatever reason they were out there, they all experienced the same storm. The fishermen, the travelers, the fun seekers, and even the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to understand this morning that Christians are not immune from the storms of life. And out on this sea of life, there are times when, as believers, we think that we ought to somehow escape all of these storms, but it's not reality. The reality is, Jesus said, through great tribulation, you will reach the kingdom of God. And so we too go through times of storms, and they can be fierce, and these storms can come out of nowhere, and they literally turn our world upside down. So the storm then shook the disciples to the very core. You know, the disciples, they responded in that hour with fear, and not only with fear, they responded with anger. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Think about that one more time. Teacher, come on, Jesus, teacher, master, Lord, do you not care that if we all drown? The Greek language here is one of anger. It's one of resentment. It's one of fear. And it's one of irreverence. You know, friends, in the middle of the storms of life, it gets rather easy, if we're not careful, to begin to blame God and become angry and even become sarcastic in our conversations with God. Teacher, master, Lord, that's who you say you are. Don't you care if we should drown? So the storm then shook the disciples to the very core of their being. Now the question is where is God? Where is God in the storm? I'll tell you where God was and where God is today. He is always with his disciples in the midst of everyday life, including those storms that come out of nowhere. God was right there with them in the boat. Jesus. His name, literally in the Old Testament, was declared it would be called Emmanuel. He'd be called Emmanuel, which means, you know what it is, say it with me, God with us. And so there in the boat was Jesus, Emmanuel. God is literally with us in the boat. Jesus was with them. Now the Bible says that Jesus was asleep at the stern of the boat. You know, first, I believe this is a beautiful picture of the one that is 100% man and yet 100% God. As man, Jesus was tired. He was fatigued from a long day of ministry, and he has literally fallen asleep in the back of the boat. As God, the safe crossing of the Sea of Galilee was a done deal from the moment that Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." From that moment on, it was a done deal. Friend, when God says, let's go, you can know you can go, and you can know that you're always going to reach the other shore. No one drowns traveling with Jesus. Where is God in the storm? And we ask that question, where is God? I'll tell you where God is at. God is with us. In the 23rd Psalm, in verse 4, it says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me." In Psalm 46, listen to what the psalmist says. God is our refuge. It's our place of safety. He is our strength and a very present help in trouble. So when we're in trouble, you can know God is there. Listen to what Isaiah writes. Isaiah chapter 43. Now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I want you to hear that from God this morning. Friend, I want you to know that God says, I created you. I formed you. You are mine. And listen to the promise now. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fires, you will not be scorched, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, that word Savior, there is a broad sense term. Not only does he save us spiritually, but he saves us physically, emotionally, and every area of life by which we need saving. And friends, as we go through any day of life, we need all of the above. We need God. And I am so glad that when we need him, he is never leaving us, never forsaking us. He is always right there. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Just before Jesus ascends back to the Father, he says, "Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Where's Jesus in the storm? I'll tell you where he's at. He is with us. And in verse 39, it says this. He got up. Remember now, they go back and they shake Jesus. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe Jesus wasn't sleeping the whole time. Have you ever pretended like you were asleep so that you could hear what someone else was saying or what they were thinking or how they were acting? And so it's one of those kind of deals where you're kind of one eye closed and you're peeking out there and closing, making sure you don't get caught. Now, I have no reason to believe that that is possibly true here. Scripture does not give us any indication of it, but I guess I will take a little bit of liberty there. I believe Jesus was probably listening, and he was probably watching with one eye at, you know, various glances to see, how are my disciples, the ones that I've been with, the one that have seen, you know, the blind see, they have watched the lame walk, they have seen the dead raised to life, they've seen all these miracles. I'm sure he's wondering, just how are they going to respond? And so he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? If I'm with you, and if I made a promise to you, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? After all that you have seen and all that we've experienced together, you still have no faith? How is that even possible?" And in verse 41, it records their response. And they were terrified. And they asked one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Friend, I'll tell you who it is. It's the maker of heaven, the maker of earth, the giver of life, the one that causes the sea to know that it's got a master that is always in control, and the winds are not beyond his ability to control and to say, "Silent, be quiet." That's who he is. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? You see, dear friends, in spite of the storm, in spite of all their fear, in spite of all the turmoil out on the boat that day, they safely reached their destination. Jesus was in the boat. God was in the boat with them. And in Mark chapter 5, in verse 1, it says this from the Phillips translation. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the country of the Gadarenes. Let's put all this together now in context for a moment. The Sea of Galilee represents life. You know, friends, some days it's smooth sailing and some days it's anything but. There are times when it's like when the disciples let go from the western shore, it's going to be a routine day, a routine travel to the east side, the Sea of Galilee. But it represents real life. And so anytime you read in the scripture about sea or about water, many times it's talking about this journey of life. And so the Sea of Galilee represents then life, everyday life, yours and mine. The other side, getting to the land of the Gadarenes, represents heaven. The storm represents the trials that we go through in life. Jesus' presence in the boat represents the ironclad guarantee that we are going to make it to the other side. A great missionary by the name of Charles Greenaway. I remember him coming to North Central University when I was a student there. This man at that time had planted about 400 different churches around the world. And he would say, in the middle of whatever he was preaching about, it didn't make any difference what it was, he'd always say this: "We're going to make it. Friends, we're going to make it. We may not look like much, but we're going to make it." And friend, I want you to know, no matter what's going on in the culture around about us, whatever's going on in the sciences round about us, declaring one thing or another about the virus, whatever's going on in your neighborhood, in your family, in your home, some of you have been spending more time together than you have for a long, long, long time. And as a result of that, some of you are enjoying it to the full, and others, it may be getting a little tense around the house. I want you to know Jesus is there for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And you know what? He's never any further away than just Jesus. Driving down the highway, and in a miraculous moment of just needing God's help, and all you can say is Jesus. And He is there. Where is God? Where is He in the midst of the storm? He is with you, He's with me, He's with us. And we're going to safely make it to the other side as we follow after Christ. You know, if you've never given your life to Christ, here's a wonderful time to do it. You know, journeying life without Jesus Christ can be a very, very unsettling and scary thing. I'm so glad that He is always right there. And He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He loves you. He cares for you. He came to this earth to make your life not only so it's better temporary, but for eternity. He gave His life for us. He's the only one that can forgive sin. And He's the one that when He is with us, let me tell you, there's a confidence. And God wants you to walk with confidence. He wants you to see things through the lens of faith. And to know that God is right now at this very moment, He's working all things together for your good. I want to pray for you that you might come to know Him. And I want to pray for you that are going through various times and situations. And you're saying, Pastor, I've kind of been wondering, where is God at in all of this? I want you to know He's with you, He's for you, He loves you, and He wants entrance into your life. And the only way He can have entrance into our lives is if we'll open our heart's door and let Him in. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear My voice and will open the door, I will come into him." So He's knocking right now, and He wants to come in, and He wants to make a difference in your life, and He wants to accompany you through the journey of life all the way to heaven. Bow your heads with me, please. Father in heaven, I am so thankful that we can know in every circumstance and situation of life, You are with us and You are for us. And the scripture declares that if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, we're so glad that You would love us so much that You would come from heaven above to this earth to die on a cross in our place so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I pray, Lord, for those that are saying, you know, I want to experience Jesus in my life. I don't want to travel this lake of life without Christ being on board with me. And so I pray right now that You'll open your heart and just say, Jesus, come into my life. Guide my life. Go on this journey with me from now into all of eternity. And Father, I pray for families. I pray for individuals. Lord, I pray that that one that's right now in an apartment and they're listening and they're all alone, I pray, Lord, that they would sense, where is God? God is with them. Lord, I pray for families, Lord, that are gathered together right now, that there would be a holy sense of your presence. Touch them, be with them, bless them, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for being with us always, never forsaking us. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.